welcome to episode 33 of Radio Radar, our third podcast this week. This is, I'm Hollander Cooper, here with me is...
Bob Magrino.
Henry Gilbert.
And Lorenzo Valoria.
And a slightly shorter show today because this was April Fool's Week and the top seven LOL was a joke. If you haven't read it, it was the top seven movie games
best movie games you probably didn't play.
We're not going to spoil it. If you want to go experience the thing for yourself, I'll just say there's probably a reason you didn't play them.
Right.
But it would not make for a good podcast discussion. So we're just going to jump into GDC news and the reviews we saw.
I really wanted to start the show with like, and we're back, having recorded what? You already recorded a lot of segments for the show.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
Holy
like,
fuck, Magrino. I recorded the third segment, which is at the end of the show yesterday, and we actually had a discussion about not telling you, and I'm like, it's cool. He can hold his shit together.
I mean, I was like, and we're back. But then you started from the beginning.
Because
and I'm like,
this is segment one.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? So, yes, we recorded the third segment yesterday
because
it was
a busy week.
It's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week.
But continuity-wise, we explain everything in the beginning of the third segment.
Right.
So, theater of the mind,
right.
You'd be fine.
You'd be fine otherwise. I mean,
we can't.
The magic of technology lets you cut things up however you so desire.
Fortunately, nothing horrible happened between this recording and the previous recording.
Unless you're Ryan Talzhenik.
Yes.
Well, we came in, well, from the BioShock Infinite one, when we came out of BioShock Infinite, that's when I found out Roger Ebert had died. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. Roger Ebert. Yeah.
So, first news story, Roger Ebert died.
Man was a pioneer
in reviewing
entertainment. A lot of people like to shit on him, basically because he was anti-video games, but... I feel like our profession wouldn't exist without Roger Ebert.
I think anybody over 70 years old is anti-video games.
Yeah.
Unless they have a Wii and they play Wii Sports.
It's like they're also everyone over 70 is racist. It's just how you are if you're over 70.
Well, not Roger Ebert. He introduced me to a lot of great movies. And I think he did inspire a lot of people who write reviews about video games today.
Most definitely. The reviews that he wrote were very insightful and keen. And even if they weren't, always your cup of tea, he at least had something intelligent to say.
I'm really looking forward to his review of Iron Man 3. I think he's just going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, what was his? Do you know what his last review was?
Oh, I hope it wasn't shitty.
Stephanie Meyer, the host, based on the Twilight.
Did he shit on it?
Oh, man. He gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Is that the reason? How many thumbs is that?
I think, well, that would be a thumb in the middle since it's
okay.
So
it
I was
like Caesar thumb.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading he watched like 500 movies a year and wrote a review for about half of them.
Oh,
250 reviews.
Well, he just
what the fuck
was
he doing with the other half? I don't know. He was like,
lazy
this is
asshole.
Just too bad to review.
Even when stricken with cancer, like for the past decade, like he's still one of my
even post jaw.
One of my favorite reviews of his ever, and
he turned into Raziel from The Legacy of Kain, he was still reviewing movies.
He wrote really fun negative reviews too, also really good glowing ones. But this one, it was in a collection of his book called Your Movie Sucks. Mm-hmm. It was based on his review of the sequel to Male Gigolo? The Deuce Bigelow.
European Gigolo.
Yeah, and because apparently he got mad that Rob Schneider got mad at another reviewer for giving him a bad review score, and then Rob Schneider was like to the other reviewer, you haven't won any awards like me. I've won these awards and Emmys and stuff. You have no way. You're not allowed to write bad about Deuce Bigelow. And then Ebert's response that was, I have won a Pulitzer Prize. And let me say that your movie sucks. Putting Rob Schneider in.
That's pretty good.
I remember for some reason I did read a few of his reviews like 2 years ago because I found out that he's apparently like a diehard Nicolas Cage fan and
really?
Just likes like every Nicolas Cage movie. So I went and read, what was that movie? The one where it was like Nicolas Cage.
Wicker Man?
No, it was like a recent one and it was about aliens.
To be more specific.
Was that the one with the 9/11 thing too in it?
Something, yeah. And I went back and read it, and it's just like he just fucking jizzes all over. He just loves Nicolas Cage. I could be wrong about this, but I feel like
I didn't agree with his every review, but that was part of the fun too, like disagreeing with him.
Totally.
All right, anyway, yeah.
But yeah,
Roger Ebert was more than just a guy who hated video games.
But as of today, video games are art. He was the one person holding it back.
It's true.
So
we're free.
Hooray.
We're free forever.
Yeah. So, on the note of an old man who didn't think video games were art, let's talk about an Xbox needing an online internet connection, as people often do while discussing art. More rumors from patents and inside sources have come out saying that the Xbox 720 will require a constant internet connection, and someone on NeoGAF has captured pictures.
Did you see that? Okay, is this the Twitter
guy? Yeah. Captured pictures of a Twitter account from the guy's name was Orthy on Twitter. It's Adam Orth. He works for
creative director at Microsoft Studios.
Creative director, and he said, "Sometimes the electricity go out. I will not purchase a vacuum cleaner. The mobile reception in the area I live in is spotty and unreliable. I will not buy a mobile phone. Sorry for expressing my personal opinion about electronic devices." And then he kind of went on a rant and just said, "Sorry, I don't get the drama around having an always-on internet connection. Every device is always on. That's the world we live in. Deal with it." And somebody responded, "Did you learn nothing from Diablo 3 or SimCity? You know that some people's internet goes out. Deal with it as a shitty reason."
Oh, that's Manveer. Well, that's Manveer Air, who works prominent dude at BioWare.
Okay. So he responded to him, "Electricity goes out too." Manveer responded, "You live in L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, very connected places. Try living in Janesville or Blacksburg, Virginia." And Adam responded, "Why on earth would I live there?"
Nice.
So!
Okay, so first of all, to get this out of the way, Sony gives us, "Hey guys, on-demand game streaming. This is going to be the thing that we do that's awesome." And Microsoft is like, "Hey guys, always on persistent interconnection. This is going to be the thing we do."
The recent leak says that every game when you turn it on requires an internet connection. And if your internet drops for over 3 minutes currently, your game will be suspended.
That tells me that they're treating their customers like thieves.
It's never worked. Like, SimCity,
that's
Diablo.
The thing. That's
like,
you guys
don't have a working model right now.
It's like, honestly, I can say to them, I will have my shit under control.
Right.
I know that not everyone in the country will, and I know that's a shame. My internet will be on for all of the time it needs to be. But guess what, Microsoft? I don't have faith that yours will.
Exactly. Like
that too.
It's more an issue of,
and I don't
care,
guys
haven't proven your side of the technology. No game company that I know of, at least so far, has had servers that are able to hold millions of people at once. And considering, like, the next install base will be at its peak, you know, like the Xbox 360 is at 70 million people. Are you really do you want that? Do you want 70 million people?
And, like, you can point at MMOs, but MMOs will still do things like, "Hey, guys, we're taking the servers down for 2 hours. Is Microsoft just going to be like, "Hey, guys, can't play Call of Duty for the next 2 hours because we got to reboot something"?
You can't play anything for the next 2 hours.
And clearly there's some kind of difference between the way the MMOs work and the way, like, single-player online always...
Yeah, but either way, it's like...
MMOs are working, and single-player stuff is not.
Yeah, well, for the if it's always online for single-player games, if it's just a Switch that says, "I'm here," and that's all it's communicating, like... I wouldn't think that would be very, like, demanding on server
space. It would still require something on Microsoft's part.
Yeah.
They need a receiver for the "I'm here" messages. And it's like, I know, like, with an MMO and with SimCity and with Diablo, you're connecting to their server and playing on their server, and that wouldn't be the case here. Mm-hmm. But I still don't trust it to be working 100% of the time. And honestly, the biggest reason for me that I feel like Microsoft can't do this, it's because Sony isn't doing it. Mm-hmm. It feels like an all or nothing, or else they're screwing themselves over.
Yeah, I mean, if I have this is something that is actually a deal breaker for me. Like, if Sony doesn't have this on their console and Microsoft does have this on their console, and all other things being equal, I am 100% going with Sony.
And from rumors, hardware wise, all other things are going to be equal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just feels like it's anti-piracy, but it's one of those anti-piracy things that punishes non-thieves, the people who aren't stealing, while the people who steal, they're just going to find another workaround.
Yeah. Like, someone will just create a $2 thing you plug into the back of your Xbox that tricks it. Like, it's going to happen minutes before the system comes out.
Yeah.
It's all it makes it seem like Microsoft is having Sony era 2006 like level of hypocrisy or hubris.
And what I can't wait for is like they're going to turn this on in like the United States and Canada and Japan probably, but they're like, oh well, Europe, you guys don't need this. So it's going to be like it's going to be very blatant. That's an arbitrary thing that they have going on here.
If that happened,
is that the rumor or are you just speculating?
I'm speculating.
But yeah, there are also people who just don't have internet. Like I know Brett Elston, former Games Radar editor, like his parents. Where he grew up, they still do not have internet. Like their parents have the internet via satellites, like they got that, but they don't have.
There's no broadband.
There isn't broadband. Mm-hmm. They just didn't bring it out there into the boonies of Illinois. Like that's. Yeah.
And
it's what
like, and I feel like their argument internally is probably like, well, yeah, there's that, but. And we're going to lose, let's say we'll lose 30% of people, but with used game sales being 33% of sales, we'll gain it back. But I don't think they're realizing in the long term how it's like, it's going to hurt their install base early on, and that's when you can't have your install base hurt.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's why you got it, like I said before with Sony, you got to make it a Switch, and you have to turn it on after like 4 years. Well, you can't just make it something you have on at day one, because it's not a value proposition. Unless it's coming with some ridiculous suite of tools that makes it like really insane and connected in a way we can't even comprehend.
Well, then
and
also at GDC, there were a ton of independent developers like complaining about XBLA and how Microsoft treats them, and meanwhile Sony is being nicer and nicer about this stuff, and it makes me think like a lot of people are ready to turn their backs on Microsoft. Like Microsoft's getting into being a bad position. Now this isn't comfort. I don't know, that guy's tweets seemingly confirm.
Hey man,
it's
his
true.
Tweets don't represent the.
Who was it, by the way? What was this?
It was
creative. He is creative director of Microsoft Studios.
Oh,
so
goddamn!
He was high enough up where
goddamn!
He also should know better than to say that.
And what's
too.
His name? Like
on the internet,
Adam Orth.
He has since made his account private.
Yeah, no, I love that. Where it's like
after you make controversy, you just
after a couple emails,
the internet remembers.
I do, yeah, Microsoft better have something pretty awesome planned for their system if they are going to also have to tell people there is also a theory I read online that Microsoft is purposefully leaking this ahead of time to get ahead of it.
Acclimate the waters.
Yeah, yeah, the same where, like, Nintendo announced the name of the Wii.
Get the fury out of
like,
the way.
Like, a month before E3, just so people could be like, yeah, it's the Wii, we get it, we know what the name is. Like, instead of people only obsessing about the name of the Wii before.
I'm just wondering how they're going to turn it into a value proposition when they announce it. Because they have to address it right away, or in that event.
And they just try to avoid it completely.
Well, it'll be something like, oh, your games will always be updated. You'll never have to download anything. It'll
anytime
just
there's a patch,
yeah,
you turn your system on, let's say at 3 a.m., so a developer pushes a patch on, and you start playing it at 10 in the morning the next day, boom, it's already updated. Yeah. Which, realistically, if that's an option, I'll totally have it on. That's cool, but don't tell me that because there's a power outage in, like, wherever your servers are, I'm not going to be able to get my game on.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. Yuck.
Ugh. Man, I'm looking at all the news this week sucks. LucasArts is done. They died. They fucking got lit on fire. Disney burnt them in that same bed of sticks that Luke Skywalker burnt Darth Vader.
That was a stretch.
What?
I think it seems more respectful than they did it.
They chopped off its hand and kicked it off of the into the cloud.
So Disney has said that LucasArts will only be focusing on licensed properties.
They'll be they won't be focusing on
licensed. They'll be licensing out their properties.
And 1313 is effectively canceled.
1313 is effectively canceled. Although
all the developers let go.
Yep. So the one thing that I will say is after The Force Unleashed came out, they said the exact same thing. So I don't know how terminal this is for LucasArts game development.
Well, I mean, they said they said LucasArts is no longer developing games. Yeah. Like they didn't say, like Force Unleashed. They're like, we're going to focus less on it. They fired everyone at LucasArts, and they said that LucasArts will exist solely as a name on packages of Lucas made.
It's
the last time they still started development of new games.
LucasArts has been in such a weird position for ever since Force Unleashed 2, because they still employed developers who were making games, but they didn't really put out anything.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like they were doing it in this, like, obligatory way. Like, we should... It makes sense for us to be in this space, even though we don't really understand it.
Well, and I wonder if that just came from Lucas, like, not caring. Like, he was, like... He was just in charge of Lucasfilm. He says, well, I'm supposed to have LucasArts. I don't know what to do with it, but I mean, keep it open.
Star Wars games are just kind of awkward. Like, not really like the games themselves, but just the way in which they're, the feeling I get from LucasArts games, or even the Old Republic, it just feels off.
The weird thing is, we've talked about it before, that there are probably more good Star Wars games than bad ones, though.
Yeah.
Like, everyone kind of acts whenever a Star Wars game's coming out, like, oh, man, here, I'm excited, but it's going to suck. And then it's like, look back historically. We had some of, like, if you look over our list of, like, the 100 best games, there are, like, a good amount. There's, like, a smattering of Star Wars games. And, like, then you go into, like, the best GameCube launch title was Rogue Squadron. The best, one of the best RPGs of the last generation was Knights of the Old Republic. Then you have Force Unleashed, which wasn't terrible. It just wasn't very good.
I feel like that feeling from gamers kind of came from the Force Unleashed, because they kind of blew up that game a lot. And it's like, oh, you're going to be the ultimate Jedi. And then it was just kind of... had its
issues. Another piece of pressing news based on that.
Yeah.
So the character we've been seeing for 1313 was a placeholder. They said that from the beginning. Uh-huh. It was going to be Boba Fett.
Oh.
Concept art and art from the game has leaked, where it is Star Wars 1313, the main character. 1313 was the level that Boba Fett was kept on or whatever in the books. It was going to be Uncharted Boba Fett edition.
Boba Fett was the book about Boba Fett was the only Star Wars book I ever read.
I could just imagine that game, you know, you go around collecting Wookiee braids and, that'd be so awesome.
Even in that, even with it being Boba Fett, I can also see how it's, again, a case of Star Wars just not really fitting into video games. Because he's a very predefined character.
And they
he's
did make the, that not, that not Jango Fett game a while back, which was...
Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, Bounty Hunter.
It was kind of sucked, but it was fun.
It was supposed to be like, the Boba Fett for the new age of, like...
Yeah, for
Star Wars
kids.
People. Yeah, stupid kids.
Honestly, it's probably the same reason... I mean, if you look, Disney is doing a lot of shitty things to the Star Wars franchise right now because it kind of has to.
Uh-huh.
Like, it killed off the Clone Wars show that was super popular and well-received. It's stopping production of, like, all books and comics and stuff. Like, it's doing all this crazy stuff.
It is making a movie with J.J. Abrams.
Well, that's the thing. They said they want to, like, now they own it, they want to do it. And they're going to make games, they're going to release movies, they're going to release TV shows. They just want to make sure that, like... There's no demand for Star Wars right now because Star Wars is everywhere. They just want to take off, like, a year or two.
Right.
So when Star Wars comes back, it's a big deal. And then it's like, boom, Star Wars is back. New TV show. Check out this game.
I mean, that's
Fuck
almost...
you.
I can almost see how that could be a good thing because...
It is,
LucasArts,
in the long term.
Yeah, like, LucasArts has just made a business out of just riding fucking Star Wars into the ground.
Well, yeah, they're kind of just
So has George Lucas.
Right. Yeah. It's like you have to keep releasing all this various stuff, and it's just saturating. Well, you're not giving it a chance to breathe.
I think it's just more of a corporate approach, really. It's like Lucasfilm as an entity and how it treated Star Wars, like, it seemed just Lucas was just like, do that, I don't care. Like, now, and he was at the top. He didn't have to listen to bean counters or other executives. Mm-hmm. But now it's under Disney. Disney's looking at it from a much more, like, numbers perspective of, like, we can't sell this unless we get rid of that.
Probably in the long term, though. Like, Lucas was like, he knew he was eventually going to offload it, and he's just like, how am I going to make it worth a lot of money? Disney is like, we want to make billions of dollars for the next 30 years. We need to make sure this franchise... And Lucas has shit on the franchise's chest for the last 20 years, so we need to find a way to revitalize it to make it as big as the Marvel universe is right now.
Yeah, I don't think the current direction is really a corporate kind of way of looking at it. It's more of like strengthening the franchise so it is, yes, viable in the long term, like what you're saying, but this is actually, like, it reminds me of what Ubisoft has been doing to Assassin's Creed, where they're just like, all right, we're going to, like... give you a little bit of these games every couple of years. That was the initial plan, at least. And then they're like, this is selling well. now we're going to give you one every year.
Like
sometimes two.
You get one every year, and then you get a big one every 3 years.
Yeah,
and that's literally what they're doing with Star Wars. They said, like, you're going to get, like, 2015, you're getting the beginning of a new trilogy.
Yeah.
And then in 2016, you're getting a standalone movie. And then in 2017, you're getting the second episode in the trilogy. And then in 2018, you're getting another cool standalone. They're literally doing what they're doing with Marvel.
That's better, though, than releasing the original three movies three times
a year. Dude, I'm not disagreeing. I'm saying that's awesome. They're literally treating it like they're treating Marvel, and you don't hear any Marvel fans complaining that you're getting a new Captain America and then a new Avengers. Like, no one's complaining about
that.
It's
like these creative properties have to breathe a little bit.
If you look,
Lucas is not letting them breathe.
They're doing Phase 1, Phase 2. That's essentially what they want to do with Star Wars.
Well, I can see, like, if 1313 came out, like, next year, it will kind of interfere with their build-up to what they're trying to do with Star Wars. So.
And maybe they're just going to... And it probably, realistically, is better for... And we talked about this when we did a Radar React. It's better for Star Wars games in the long term.
No,
because
totally. Yeah.
Because if you look, it's like... LucasArts is okay at making games. They were never great. But now that they're out of the way, there's no reason that, like...
Really good developers
couldn't be like, shit, can we make a Star Wars game? Oh, why, yes, you can.
Right.
Let's make a Star Wars game. We're probably going to get more good Star Wars games 3 years from now.
And I'm kind of glad that they're just wiping the slate clean of the whole prequel lore and that, of all the droids and the Clone Wars, and that was, like, it was all ass. They're not wiping this, they're still part of the... If they're not making all these games and all these, like, shows revolving around that,
that
time period, like, people can forget about that.
I actually have the luxury to breathe.
We may never
hear any mentions of the prequels again.
Yeah.
That just might never happen.
And Annie Skywalker will be, you know, out of everybody's mind. And
yeah. Let's knock out the other bad news real quick. Right. Activision laid off 40 people from High Moon Studios making the Deadpool game, and Square laid off its L.A. branch, pretty much.
So it's really the Deadpool, the Activision news is the weirdest to me because, like, maybe if you wanted to have a cynical approach to looking at Activision, you would say that instead of firing everybody after their game ships, they're just cutting out even those 2 months of paying people. They're just like, oh, you're finished and we can just hand this off to somebody else. Get out of here. Like, because Deadpool.
I mean, this is almost a non-news story at this point. This is the ebb and flow of game development that we've been seeing for years and years at this point.
Usually you wait until after the game ships.
Well, they only wait after the game ships because they're still working on DLC. What this
apparently
tells me
no
is,
DLC for
yeah,
this.
There's no DLC for Deadpool.
Also, there's no, the other weird thing to me, and this is Deadpool still has no release date. Like, not even a release month or a suggested one. Yeah. Like, it's
although
the summer.
They did say it was done.
I'll bet it's June, because that's the end of a fiscal quarter, so...
There's a Deadpool movie, right?
Nah, no.
There's sort of a Deadpool.
They were talking about it.
I thought...
There's a Deadpool movie... There's a Deadpool script for a rated R Deadpool movie, and there's Marvel, not sure if they're going to pull the trigger on a rated R movie, and it's in limbo. Like, there's constant, like, do we make it PG-13?
Ryan Reynolds is the star or not.
Every time Ryan Reynolds does an interview, he's like, fuck yeah, I want to do a Deadpool movie. I read the script, it's awesome, but just hasn't been, like, it just needs to be greenlit, and then we'll start making it.
Right. I'd watch that movie.
Oh,
that sounds awesome.
But also, High Moon's just a cool studio. I hate hearing that them.
They've got the touch.
I mean, I don't see this as High Moon. Basically, I'm not seeing this as impacting High Moon Studios. I'm seeing this as impacting 40 people who are working at High Moon Studios.
Which still sucks.
Oh, totally sucks, but I wouldn't worry about High Moon.
Well, I'm looking for any sign that High Moon will suffer the fate of every company, every developer owned by Activision, which is they... either get closed entirely or they get shrunk down to the right size to support development of the annual Call of Duty.
And the Square thing is also...
Square, they're fucked. Like, this is actually, I don't know.
Which is a shame because all of the games that Square Enix is releasing, I love BioShock Infinite. It's one of my favorite games ever. There was actually a discussion for even Game of the Month when BioShock and Tomb Raider came out where we're like, listen, we know BioShock probably needs to win, but Tomb Raider was real good.
Yeah.
Let's actually talk about this one.
Tomb Raider was great.
Yeah, totally. And if you're looking at, like, Thief... Like, Thief that look- game is, we're going to talk about it later, but that game looks really good.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I have no doubt that Square Enix is going to be like,
and they made
Thief?
A great,
Ooh.
And they made a really
I mean,
great
you guys
Hitman
only
game
sold 4.5 million copies.
Yeah, so.
They sold 3.6 million copies of Tomb Raider in 2 weeks, not counting digital. It's probably broken 4 now. Fuck you.
Yeah. Also, Square's LA team, like their PR people, they're good PR people. Like, yeah. I like working with them compared to some other PR people. Like, so it's sad to see that they're going to be let go. Like, and it's all just because it seemingly this all just comes from the last week's thing where Yuichi Wada, the outgoing president, blamed it, like, partially blamed Tomb Raider's failure in sales on the U.S. marketing team, like, not getting the sales out there. Like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, if you're projecting sales to be more than triple what the last game sold,
yeah,
then that's actually on you.
I've heard that essentially, I've heard rumors that Square thinks that the Eidos brand's names mean more than they do. Mm-hmm. So they think Tomb Raider is a 10 million. Like, they think Lara, everyone knows Lara Croft, everyone knows Tomb Raider, that game should sell 10 million. So if it doesn't sell that much, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. When the realistic problem with that equation is that Tomb Raider isn't a name that sells that right now.
Right.
That's not,
and it's never sold that.
No, it's, so they just think the brands are worth more than they are in terms of how much they're inherently, like, they're going to sell 3 million without blinking an eye just because it's a Tomb Raider game.
Yeah, and I mean, if they keep making Tomb Raider games like they made the last one, then maybe, yeah.
Oh, yeah, in a few years.
That's what really worries me is that Crystal Dynamic, like, it was like the best work of their, it was the best game they'd ever made, as far as I'm concerned. And, like,
and probably the best selling.
And probably their best selling. And that Square could come to them and be like, treat them like they did something wrong and, like, maybe
fast
make cuts to the team or tell them to do things differently. Like, I'm worried about what the effect they can do. And I'm also going to be really watchful of, like, how much is Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13 going to sell? Because I'm betting not as much as Hitman or Deus Ex or Tomb Raider.
And it'd be a shame if it did.
Yeah, it would also be a shame.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's not.
We have to move on because we don't have this room for a ton of more time. One bit of good news to leave the news segment off of: Telltale's The Wolf Among Us, which is their game based on Fables, which originally they admitted, like, early on, like, we're not just going to call it Fables. Nobody gives a shit about that. It's coming out in the summer, starring Big B Wolf, aka the big bad wolf, who can turn from a wolf to a human.
It looks like a noirish detective story, which
noiring his way around.
Did
New York
City. In the original Grimm stories, Little Red Riding Hood actually slept with the wolf?
I'm sure.
Yep.
That's
a thing that happens.
Previews.
Well, they made the subtext of the little of that text. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Previews. Saw a few games at GDC. We're going to go through.
You don't want to linger on bestiality at all.
If we had more time in this room, we could make the whole show about bestiality.
Okay, that's fair.
Previews. I saw Lego Marvel Superheroes, and it looks really fucking cool.
Okay.
So I've only played a few of the Lego games. I probably played the most of the most recent one, which was Lord of the Rings, and I was amazed at how good Lego Lord of the Rings looked. And this game might look better.
Well, I like that it's on the surface, people can think, oh, it's a Lego Avengers game. Like, no, it's everything.
There's 100 playable characters.
Wow.
And they said that, like, the Harry Potter games had like 300 playable characters, but that includes, like, Harry Potter with a scarf, Harry Potter with a hat, Harry Potter with a broom in his hand. But this is like, no, they're like, these are over 100 different characters. And they just, like, they don't have an official number because every day somebody will just be like, hey, you want to add this guy? And somebody will be like, all right. And
hey,
they'll just add
like
him.
Somebody made a comment on the squirrel once, right? Yeah. Let's do that.
It's not just 100 different characters' skins. Everybody has their own abilities. Like, when I watched them play a level where Iron Man was literally flying through the air, shooting blasts at people on the ground while the Hulk was picking up, like, chunks of rubble and throwing them. Spider-Man was swinging around and, like, sticking people to walls. Like, everyone will have their own abilities. You can read the full preview.
That sounds awesome.
It's also full of references to Marvel, and they're picking and choosing what parts of them, what movie stuff versus comic book stuff they want. So, like, Stark Tower. They're like, Stark Tower looks awesome in the movies. Let's just take the movie one. But then it's like, oh, but we like Wolverine's costume in the comics more. Oh, we like this part of the movie. So, like, Samuel L. Jackson is pretty much just, like, that's Nick Fury. He's just Samuel L. Jackson. But then it's like the, what's the name of the crew that comes and cleans stuff up after the...
Damage Control shows up to fix stuff.
Oh, yeah. Man! So it's all... They do a really good job of, like, winking to Marvel stuff all the time.
I love that. Damage Control is one of my favorite, like, comic books ever, but only, like, 10 people have ever heard of it.
And I watched the demo, and at the end of the demo, after the big battle, they were like, there was a bunch of guys in, like, orange jumpsuits, and they're like, hey, Hulk, can you help us? And then he's helping. And it's funny because it's like they're like smiling and joking with each other, and it's like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, it's kind of silly that they'd be laughing, but it's like, oh, they're supposed to be kind of.
Yeah, right. They're the comedy.
Yeah.
They had a. My favorite issue of Damage Control is when they cleaned up something that Dr. Doom messed up, and they went to Dr. Doom's embassy in New York, because he has one, and they demanded he pay the bill they owed him.
So good. But yeah, the game looks awesome. It's coming out later this year. And Lorenzo, you saw the Ouya.
The Ouya.
Ouya.
Yeah.
Ouya. Console.
Yeah, it's a new console, Android-based program and all that stuff. So it's really a console built for developers that make like indie games and stuff.
Yeah,
like
okay.
small games.
It's but, an indie. It's an indie console.
Yeah, it's. They showed me the actual box and it's tiny. It's like the size of a Rubik's cube, which I was really surprised. Like okay. In my hands, it looked pretty cool, and it's got HDMI, USB outputs, right. And all the good stuff. And I also got to play with the controller a little bit. It looks pretty much like a Xbox 360 controller. Got all the same inputs, all that stuff.
Is it? I heard people say it was laggy.
I didn't have that problem with
okay.
it. But I don't know, maybe somebody else did. The thing that I got from the controller was it felt kind of bulky. Kind of felt okay. like the original Xbox.
The Duke?
The monster. Mm. Well, maybe not that big, maybe in between.
Okay.
But
the thing was perfect for playing Halo, though. Yeah. I would play Halo no other way.
Yeah, but the triggers are a little funny, and it just felt... I'm sure it's like something that you just get used to, but...
Right.
Yeah, you could play all kinds of games. They're all supposed to be free to play, and it's up to the developers how they want to monetize. So you could, like, they gave an example. One game was doing like donation based,
right?
Like monetization, and you know, there's pay to play or whatever.
Sure.
But you know, they also showed us the UI, which was really simplistic. It was just four different categories, so it'd be like play, share, and whatever else, and settings and stuff. And it was really simple and really intuitive and stuff, and it looked kind of cool. But
nice.
If you're really into like the indie scene, I could see that, you know, paying $100 for it plus.
Yeah. And we're going to be getting one in the office within the next month or so, and we'll have a review of some sort so we'll get more hands on.
Yeah, it was cool.
You didn't see how many shrugs Lorenzo had while discussing it.
It was like a series of shrugs.
Right.
Yeah.
Also,
various parts of his body were just shrugging.
Nice. I saw Thief. You can read a big preview. We wrote about it on Games Radar, but here's pretty much the quick rundown. They're giving it the Deus Ex treatment. They really are. They're revamping it while keeping everything that people love about Thief. So it's still about being a thief. You're not an assassin. Mm-hmm. You're not a murderer.
First person.
Yeah, it's a first-person game. It looks a lot like Dishonored.
Good God, is this game beautiful.
Yeah. It is next... See, I forgot how excited I am for next gen for like a split second. And they literally were just like... After they showed our demo, they're like, and here's just a tech demo of how fucking sexy this game is. And it was just him walking through a building, and then he was outside in the rain. And they're like, you'll notice that usually video game rain is sprite-based. All of our rain is individual particles that refract light realistically and sun and have their own shadows and everything.
They then went around and just gave high fives to everyone.
They should have. The character's hands are always on screen, so like he'll open doors and you'll see him like put his hand out in front of him, and his hands look like real fucking hands.
And the environments. One thing that I noticed, the environments are so detail-rich.
Yeah, they said that now, games now, almost every game, it's like there's a high-res texture and a low-res texture. If you're far away, it's a low-res texture. When you get close, it tries to pop when you're not paying attention. It's a high-res texture. They're like, yeah, we're not doing that. It's just all high-res all the time.
And even high-res textures seem like they're just even more detailed than what we've
seen.
Yeah,
they just are. It looks like a next-gen game. It could be because I went from that to go see Fuse, and Fuse is Fuse looks okay, but doing that, it was seriously like looking at a PS5 game and then a PS1 game. It was like, holy shit. And it didn't do anything technically that you couldn't do this generation in terms of gameplay, but in terms of visuals, it was probably the best looking game I've seen to date. Playable. The guy was playing it. He was moving around. The game itself, if you're a fan of Thief, you can go through the game without ever killing anyone or even knocking anyone out. You can just go through without being detected. If you want to play it like I played Dishonored, which they actually specifically called out, like if you want to, like if you like to play a game like this and you want to kill everyone like secretly, like if you just want to like go into a room and like every time there's a guard, kill them, and then just like make it so there's like, just a house full of bodies, which is how I end up playing like Hitman or any game like that. They're like, you can totally do that too.
I'm playing Nobody Knows I'm There.
Oh, yeah. See,
ghost it.
See, I'm the same way. I'm a ghost, too. I'm a ghost that murders everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a vengeful ghost. I'm a banshee.
I want to go in and have people like, did you just... Yeah, where is my thing?
We're being kicked out of this room because there's about to record another thing in here. But that's it for this segment.
Keep listening because at the end of this, you'll hear my interview with Sudo51 talking about a untitled game that is coming out next year for consoles.
Yeah, we talked about it last week a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll have the full audio at the end of the show. But after this, reviews and the community segment. And welcome back to segment 3 of Radio Radar. Time for a mini sort of half review, I guess, and a community segment. Thomas stepped away. Joining us,
Greg Henniger.
How you doing, Greg?
Fantastic.
Great day for you so far?
No, I've been crying.
I know. It's been rough for all of us.
It's been really hard.
So no big games came out this week besides Battle Block Theater, which we gave a 4.5 out of 5, but none of us in this room have played it.
I gave away some codes.
You did give away some codes.
I purchased it last night.
Yeah, so we'll probably have something to say about it eventually. Defiance also came out, which I'm a huge fan of Trion, developer of it. They made Rift, and they're also making End of Nations, so I jumped into that. Did a live stream of it on Tuesday? Was it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah, and surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Despite the fact that it's not really where it needs to be yet, what are they calling it, Greg? What are they?
Open world shooter. Openly yelled at me for calling it an MMO.
So it's an MMO.
Yeah. You're gonna get an email now.
Yeah, it's an MMO. You make a character, you go into a persistent world, and you go around accepting
quests
and doing them. And guess what? Sometimes while you're on your quest, you run into other players who are on their quests. And if you've played Rift or Guild Wars. It has, like, the same feeling. The Guild Wars did it really well, and I'm surprised this game has it, where you'll just be on your way to a quest, and you'll see, like, you'll be on your way, you'll be driving down the road, and it takes place in the future where, like, aliens were floating around Earth, and their ships broke and kind of mistakenly terraformed the planet, so now we're kind of all fighting over what's left of Earth. You'll be driving, and you'll see, like, some trucks pulled over, and people tied up, and, like, people, like, stealing their stuff, and you can just jump into a dynamic event, kill them, get some loot. But it also has essentially what rifts were, which is arc falls, which is pieces of those spaceships crashing into Earth, creating an event like creatures coming out of it, and you have to fight them back. And sometimes there's really, really big events where there's like 20 of those happening all in the same map, and everyone's sort of fighting over them and then accumulating in the middle of the map, and there's a giant battle. I probably only played like 6 or 7 hours, which for an MMO is scratching the surface. I think there's like 1,000 levels. It's really weird. I don't understand how the leveling works. I think I'm like level several hundred. I'm sort of confused by it. And that's so far my biggest criticism is it doesn't feel like it's good at telling you what the hell the game is. And there's no better thing that proves that than the argument over whether or not it's an MMO that they seem to be having in terms of marketing. Because it feels like an MMO. And most of the MMO trappings are there. It
smells like an MMO.
It smells so MMO-y, to the point where the servers went down where I was playing.
But it also feels like a pretty good shooter, though, too.
It does.
It's got a really cool multiplayer component where, like, a bunch of people could join in one area, and it'll just turn into, like, this capture the flag.
In the open world?
Yeah, open world.
I haven't even messed with
PvP
that.
PvP thing, yeah. Well, you were saying it was broken.
It was broken, PvP was down. So it has all of the MMO trappings, and it feels like an MMO, but it plays... Honestly, if I had to compare it to, like, a single game, I'd say sort of, like, Grand Theft Auto / Saints Row. It's, like, that kind of... It's a third-person shooter with not a remarkable amount of pride taken in the shooting, but more than enough to be passable. Mm. So, like, if you shoot an enemy in the head, it does more damage. There's crouching. There's jumping. You can get on a vehicle, and it's full... It's not, like, a normal MMO vehicle. It's full-on, like, physics. Like, you can do jumps and stuff. If an enemy, like, there are certain enemies that when they open their mouth, like, that's their hit point, like, inside of them, and you can shoot them. It feels good, but it's also not, like, it's not Gears of War, where it's like, oh, man, this is a shooter. It's just it's a fine shooter. It works. It functions as well as it needs to, which puts it, like, several miles above the average MMO, which plays like a mediocre hack-and-slash RPG from 8 years ago.
It's not free to play, right?
It is not free to play, but it does not have a monthly fee.
So $60 up front.
$60, which I mean, I was getting angry about this yesterday. as a value proposition, to go into the business of it. So Defiance is also going to be a TV show on the Sci-Fi Network. And they're going to line up directly, where if something happens on the show, it will happen in the game. And there's actually episode quests that will come out every
week.
It's super ambitious. Why wouldn't it be free to play? Like, what, as a value proposition for the brand, like, hey, like the TV show? Go play the game now. Like, it just makes no sense to me that they wouldn't just go all in on it being a, like, a supplement to the... Like, free-to-play MMOs have proven themselves. They can work. Not having a monthly fee is good, but, like, Planetside's free. Neverwinter is going to be free. It could have been a free... Like, it almost feels like they made it too much of a game, but it's still so linked to this TV show that for it to be linked to the TV show, it could still be a big, fancy game. Like, the same game, except stripped apart and remade as a free-to-play game, would probably have been a been better for the TV show and the game and just the brand in general. To sort of go on a side rant about my experiences with the game so far.
Not a review.
Not a review. It is a review in progress, is what this is. Though I am not reviewing it. We have a freelancer reviewing it because I don't have the time. Though I did hear some people in the live stream saying that they already had completed all of the story quests in like a day.
Wow.
Which I don't necessarily believe, but at the same time, that's not the point of the game. Like, the story is it's a supplement to a TV show, and it also has some good shooting elements. I figure once the PvP's in, people will probably...
And there's all that emerging conflict stuff coming up that you'd be able to do.
Or something.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell's going on in that game.
The quests are just...
So far, people... Like, when I did the live stream, everyone's just like, is it worth $60? And so far, I don't think it is.
Really?
I mean, it just doesn't... It's sort of not... It does, like, so even as small as, like, it doesn't feel like a product that is as done as it should be. Like, when you launch the game, the launcher pops up, and there's, like, a window where, like, the patch notes or the, like, thanks for playing our game, it's always empty. And it's like, that just feels kind of half-assed. Like, I know Tryon's not half-assing it, so I don't know what's wrong.
Right.
But I feel like the only reason it might not feel like a $60 game right now is the insanity about it not being free-to-play, considering it's trying to be. It's launching into the MMO market, which is oversaturated by paid-to-play, and there's only, like, four paid-to-play. And they're sort of competing with themselves because of Rift. And even though it doesn't have a monthly fee, it just feels like it should be free-to-play for the safety of the brand.
Sure.
But it might be worth $60 if you just want a shooter to spend, like, 80 hours playing, because it probably is going to do that for you. So you can check out a full review on Games Radar within the next week or so. But that's it for reviews this week. Do we have any reviews going up next week? What's the next review we have?
Injustice, and then there's that in the middle of the month.
Yeah.
Not sure who's going to be reviewing that.
Someone. So, yeah.
It's pretty much a dead month.
We had a ton of previews, though, we talked about earlier. So check out Games Radar for some previews and some features. But moving on, community.
Community segment. So we recently did a live stream of, holy crap, I can't remember, Primal Carnage.
Primal Carnage.
Was pretty damn awesome.
Which you had planned... Already.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
I pushed it back because more pertinent things came up. Primal Carnage has been out for a while, but it was just announced for the PS4, which is kind of cool.
It has like a launch. It's like a... It looks... The version they showed looked awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Next-gen dinosaurs.
Yeah, so that's going to be awesome. Way stoked about that. I'm sure we will stream that when it comes out for the PS4. But anyway, so...
Probably via the PS4.
Ooh. Ooh. How else would we do it?
That is the future.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, whatever. I see what you mean. I'll hit the share button.
You'll hit the share button and be like, everybody on my Twitter, let's come play this game.
So, let's see. Last week's question of the week was, what side character deserves its own game? And we got a lot of answers. Stray Gator, you left about 4 billion answers. I'm just going to pick one of them. The Gears of War Brumac Academy.
That's beautiful. I imagine that it would play sort of like Valkyria Chronicles. Like, you have a class of, like, it's like not an academy as in, like, a college, but like a military academy.
Yeah.
Which I guess is still technically sort of a college. But
SSJ4 Raditz says, Claptrap. What? Did I totally put...
No, it's it? Right. It's
Super Saiyan 4 Raditz.
It's just like 1990 or like 2002 for my first screen name.
SSJ4 Raditz 420 XXX.
Yeah. Is it just Mike Grimm?
It's Mike Grimm reporting on here.
I think he'd use Goku.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe he's just changing it up.
Claptrap from Borderlands needs Grimm. His own game. I mean, what happens to the little guy when he's not assisting and harassing the heroes? What happens between the first and second game? And most importantly, how does he avoid injury by getting turned into scrap every single person who meets him?
I'm guessing dubstep dancing.
And we just found out that he plays poker.
Yeah,
he does.
He does play some pokers.
I'm excited to play poker against him. Avant-Guardian, Handsome Jack's point-and-click adventure. Not enough games let you work your way up to corporate ladder as a complete psychopath.
Yeah, I'd like to see his ascent. I feel like that'd be interesting.
And I didn't play it, but did they describe why he's wearing that mask on
his
face?
He's a fucking psychopath. I don't think they ever actually say. I think at one point we were talking about it, and like Tom was like, I found a picture of his face, and he pulled up just the picture of his mask, and it's like, no, that's the mask he wears over his face. He's just an absolute psychopath.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
It might even be his own face for all we know. Like, didn't the Joker do that in the New 52?
Yeah, he wore a mask of his face.
I saw a
picture of
that.
Cut the skin off of his face and then wore that as a mask.
Well, that's what happens when you're trying to...
And slowly it was rotting as the story went on.
Well, that's good.
Vent Anger. The zombie that holds up the sign at the start of the final waves in Plants vs. Zombies. How did he get that sign? Why did he pick it up? Who drew the picture of the brain on the sign? Is it the same person who drew the angry face on the balloons? Can't you just lock your back door? Why is my nose bleeding? All these questions must be answered.
Give us the zombie and wipe away the debt.
Nice. Let's see. Cyber Ninja, I would love to see the Toads or Bowser's minions from Mario get their own game just to see what would happen in the Mushroom Kingdom from their point of view.
I feel like they could do, like, essentially the Prinny game that came out, do that with Toads.
Yeah, with Toads, and then they get horribly maimed and keep coming back. You get sights of that in, like, the Mario RPGs. Like, you get to see the Toads almost their normal life.
You get to see, the Toads, especially in Paper, what was the newest
Sticker
one?
Star.
Sticker Star.
Yeah.
The Toads were essentially, like, there's no, like, it was like for pacing. There's like, there's no joke here. What do we, like, in the desert, what do we add? I guess a toad kind of walking against the wind being like, the treasure is out there, just for no reason. Just we need a laugh.
Yeah.
Add in a toad.
They usually get ripped apart a lot.
Yeah, they don't have fun. There's the one that literally has his head cut in half, but he's made of paper.
It's
so he'll
like
just be
flappy.
Talking to you, and it'll just like flap. It's almost like imagine talking to a friend who has their head like bleeding profusely, and they just won't stop to address it.
Super Giraffe. A Frogger game where
SSJ
you play...
SSJ Giraffe.
What?
I'm just laughing about the idea of a Super Saiyan Giraffe instead.
A Frogger game where you play as the person in the car. It's a racing game with a bunch of environmental hazards and a large emphasis on damaging the other cars. It'll be M-rated for blood and coarse language.
So it's Burnout with frogs?
Yeah, there'll be frogs in the road.
That'd be awesome. Thank you for the... There'd be frogs there.
Isn't it stupid that the frog dies in the water? Like, if the frog falls in the water after the...
That should be a win condition.
Yeah.
If they made that game now, you'd totally get an achievement for jumping in the water, and it would just fade to white, and you'd be outside of the water.
That'd be nice.
Taser Lime. When playing Tetris, I usually put the L block on the far side, so the L block is the side character that deserves his own game.
Boo!
I had to bring it up solely because Taser Lime, in every single goddamn comment, has to bring up Tetris. Why?
Now I like it.
We see what you're doing. And now you've made it to the podcast. Congratulations.
You should put the L to the side.
That's supposed to reward.
Comes a side character. See what he did. All right. And the winner.
What?
The winner for this question of the week is Cinosaur. Mass Effect, Archangel, Shepard is dead, C-Sec still can't get anything done, and the Turian refuses to sit on the sidelines. Play as Garrus, and he begins his war against the Gangs of Omega, recruiting allies to your team face down against the Blue Suns, Blood Pack, and Eclipse.
My erection has torn a hole in space-time. And is now ruining another society.
Yes.
He should just be the star.
Yeah,
he could have been the star anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, there's so many people that hate us because they didn't enjoy our story in the last 12 minutes of our last game. Mm-hmm. So let's just take their favorite character and make him the next Mass Effect is the gameplay is essentially Uncharted, and you still make choices and you play as Garrus.
Because they said Shepard's story is over, but they didn't. Did they announce that they're going pre?
No, they did
that?
Not.
So they could easily continue.
That'd be wonderful. I want to play as Garrus.
That would be
all
Garrus
day long.
Dope.
end of Mass Effect 3 put them in a weird place, though, to continue the story, though, right?
Well, the extended edition went ahead and erased some of the weirdness and was like, hey, guys, you want a sequel, right? Well, good news. Here's a happy cutscene showing where sequels are born.
Yeah. All right, so congratulations, Sinosaur. You won yourself something awesome. I do have digital codes also from Primal Carnage and some other games. So the ones we announced before, I still have a lot of those. And there's awesome stuff. So get a hold of me, Greg Henniger at GamesRadar.com. Coop rolls his eyes.
No, I closed my eyes because
every time I say my name.
G-R-E-G.
Correct. Go on.
No, I can't. I'm afraid I'm going to spell the N-word. It's just what happens when I have to. I'm going to be honest. That's why I don't say your name often, is because I'm afraid I'm going to mistakenly slip up and say a word I'm not allowed to say.
G-R-E-G. You got this, Hank?
No, I was going to say I agree. That's also why I don't say
that. Now you know.
No, I've known this for a long time.
Okay.
People called me that in high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
And you lived in California, too.
I sure did.
Very politically.
Wow. It was a private college preparatory school.
Oh, I see. So
I get it.
It was all white people at the place.
Yes. 99.2%.
I see.
And they only had 100 people, so that was really awkward.
Much
that
like
0.8, you only counted him as 0.8 people anyway, because you're terrible at that school.
Much like in Colombia, once you were surrounded by the white people.
Did you go to school in Colombia?
I did not.
Damn.
I was born in Colombia, actually. Colombia, Missouri.
Ooh.
Let it be known. So, Hallelujah. GREG HENNINGER. Not the racial slur.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yes. So contact me there at Games Radar.
I bet like 200 years ago, you did have the racial slur there. I'm sure, like, one of my relatives' last name, and I'll guess where my current first name comes from, is Hollander. I know he didn't come off of a boat and was like, what's your name? It's like, well, I'm from Holland. So you know that the conversation was like, oh, my last name is Hartskenflock. And they're like, where are you from? Holland. Hello, Mr. Hollander. How you doing?
Welcome
like,
to America.
Yeah. I can't trace much of my lineage back through my last name.
That's probably why. Though. Try it with the racial slur in the middle.
But it's a very German name. It's a strong German
Exactly. name. Oh, you're right. The Germans aren't a racist people,
yeah,
historically.
Not at all.
Now they're nothing but sunshines and rainbows. But once you go back to the 40s, they used to throw racial slurs into their last names just to show how much they hated.
All right, so new question of the week.
Nuevo.
I don't remember what you said.
The new question of the week is, in light of LucasArts being burnt alive as an effigy to the gods of marketing and...
like Darth Vader was at the end of
along with a bunch of other layoffs.
Yeah, but so what that company LucasArts is no more. So, and that was heartbreaking to people, though a lot of that was nostalgia based.
It lives on in my Lucas hearts. Thank you.
So, Rickets. What company? What gaming company closing would be the most heartbreaking for you? And Henry, I know your answer, so I'm going to let you go first.
Well, other than Nintendo.
Oh!
Let's disqualify
Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
I never think Nintendo is going to close.
Yeah, let's just...
Anyway.
And also for the answers, if you answer those, we're not even going to pay attention to them.
All right, so I'm going to say Grasshopper Manufacturer, because they recently just got purchased by Gung Ho Media, a big old corporation. I actually got to interview their president recently. He was... We very lightly interview him, but he was nice. He was nice.
Who's their president?
Guy.
Are you not allowed to...
Guy in a t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. I don't have my notes with me.
That's fine. Sorry. That's fine. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Anyways,
I thought you were asking for a setup.
No, Suda51's company got bought by Gung Ho. My fear is that they'll put out two games, they won't sell well, and then their new owners will just say, oh, what were we thinking, buying you guys? You're not profitable. And then they just close it down. That is my fear. I'd be very sad. Even Grasshopper, not every game they make is great or even good, even sometimes, but I still love their games and love that they exist.
I'm going to go with the Eidos companies that Square Enix owns, and that's actually kind of... I mean, considering Square Enix recently blamed all of their bad stuff on the only part of their company that's actually shipping games successfully to millions of people... I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, hey, team that made, like, Eidos Montreal, sorry, we're just going to shut you down. We don't think your game's going to be profitable, even though your last one sold 4 million units without counting digital sales.
Ridiculous.
ridiculous.
I would say LucasArts, but then I also would say Ensemble because I loved everything that they did, but they're also broken up.
So you just don't like games anymore, are your favorite.
So you're going to have to go with Grin.
I'm going to go with DICE.
Yeah.
I would be very upset if DICE went under.
That'd be heartbreaking.
It would.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with the CD Projekt Red guys just because I'm really looking forward to their Witcher 3.
They sort of can't be shut down, though.
I don't know. But yeah. They're kind of taking chances with the Witcher 3 because they're going just for next gen, and I don't know how many people are interested.
I think it's, isn't it coming out next year? Or two years? It's not coming out this year.
Well, I think it is 2014 is the intention.
But if it's early enough, then that could be a pretty big risk.
That's true.
You know, a lot of people won't have next-gen consoles, and how many people really know what The Witcher is? And, you know.
Or it could end up being like Oblivion. Like, nobody, I think a lot of people, that was their first Elder Scrolls game because it was just such an early 360 game. Everyone was like, oh, Oblivion, what's this?
People, it's funny because so many companies are afraid to launch next-gen exclusive things, but you forget that how many things this generation were average to good early generation things that ended up becoming like crazy popular franchises because everyone had to buy them and pretend they loved them. Even if they weren't the best things ever.
King Kong never became one of those.
It should have been. That game was fucking awesome.
It was great.
The game was super good.
The Lost Planet and Dead Rising. Dude.
Best part of King Kong is when you wanted to check your ammo, there was no HUD, and the character would just look down, like, oh, like pop out the clip, and just be like, six shots. Yep. It's like, that's brilliant!
What?
That's
was
like the,
cool.
That's great for immersion, instead of just Zero having a number HUD. Floating on the right side of the screen.
And I think you make, like, animals fight each other. Like,
yeah.
It had a lot of good
essentially Pokemon.
It was a great game.
That's the question of the week. What company would you be most? What game company would you be most heartbroken by if they shut down? Answer in the comments or send us a message on our Twitter account, GR Radio Radar, or shoot us an email at radioradar@gamesradar.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, and comment on the article. We'll talk to you next week.
まず今回2011年の、頭ですね、そのタイミングで一度、グラスホッパーがですねガンホーに対してラブコール、まあ、僕自身がラブコールを送って、まあ、ぜひ一緒にというラブコールをしました、はい、
So just to give you a little background about how they started while working together 、actually Suda-san was the first one to approach Morishita-san and this was back in winter of 2011 he called him, he reached out to him saying, you know, I'm interested in working with you
でその時はあのタイミング悪かったんですけども去年のちょうど夏ですね夏過ぎに、まあ、諦めきれずにもう一度ラブレターを出してでやはりグラスホッパーとしてはあのオンラインフィーチャーを強くしたい、グラスホッパーのゲームに足りてない部分そこを強化したいっていうのとあと森下さんがとにかくゲームが好きで愛していてですごく情熱のある方っていうのを、まあ、噂でもそうですし、インタビューでもそうしお会いしたことなかったんですけどもその2つの理由でもう一緒になりたいということでですねあのもう一度ラブコールをしてで初めて10月お会いしました
And nothing came out of that first conversation、but he couldn't give up so he reached out to him the second time、the following year in summer、and then the reason why he wanted to he was interested in Moisha-sanso much and at that point they hadn't met yet was because first of all Grasshopper wanted to strengthen their online features and development because they felt that they lacked that part and Gunho is very strong that's sort of their forte so that was the first reason and the second reason is because Suda-san heard that Morishita-san is a huge gamer from various sources whether it was an interview or just rumors So he felt that he's very passionate about developing games, and that's why he couldn't give up.
What was the original issue?
The original, はじめにあの2011年の冬にお話したときはあのなぜ
その
タイミングでなぜそのタイミングで
たまたま
その時はたまたまちょっとなんだろううまくスケジュールとかそういうのが合わなくて
There was some scheduling conflict, so that's why they couldn't meet up.
I see.
まあ、ただその話があった時に、まあ、グラスホッパーグラスホッパーとしてそのインディペンデントのデベロッパーとしてやってた方がいいんじゃないかなと思ったし、まあ、ちょっと自分のこう開発をこう自分の開発の方のキャパシティをこうオーバーするっていうのもまずいなと思ったので、まあ、最初はこうお断りしようと思ったんだけど、こう会って何度も何度もこう会って話をして、もうドリンクなので、ただ、なんかこうそのゲーム開発についてのそのお互いのこう思想とかを話してるところで、気があったっていう。でまずそこからじゃあ一緒にやっていこうか。
So initially when he reached out to Omoshi-san, he was not very interested in working together, and that was because he knew that Sozan had his own very own world, very unique, and he didn't want to change that, and he respected that very much, so he was rooting for a studio, and so that they could keep making those style of games. And then another reason why he was going to reject the offer was because he has his own limits too, and he didn't want to add more work and more responsibilities, and kind of that could influence the quality of his other work. So he was going to reject it, but after so many times of getting together and having dinner and drinking, you know, they went bar hopping pretty heavily.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Now, they started talking about their, you know, passion and philosophies about development, and they hit it off really well. So they got along really well. And so that kind of changed his idea.
ガンホー自体は割とこう、ガンホーっていうか、まあ、僕自身、まあ、どっちかというとやっぱりこう、まあ、アクションとかとか RPG とかでも、まあ、どうしてもこうファンタジーな方がやっぱりのタイトルがやっぱり、まあ、特にそのジャパニーズファンタジーっていうか、その JRPG 的なそういうファンタジックな方、ファンタジーなゲームの方が割とこう多かったと思うよね。なんだけどこうあまりこうスラワールド的なその世界観っていうのは、まあ、ちょっとあまり僕らの発想の中になかったんで、逆に言うとそのスラワールドでゲームを作ってみるのも面白いなと思ったのが、
He thought that Gunho is very strong and good at making action RPG games, but he and his other development teams don't really have the style that Suda-san has. He has his own Suda world, and he felt that it might be very interesting if he incorporated that element to his games.
で、それでもうあの10月に初めて会って、もう11月からこの城の企画フェーズがもうすでにスタートしました。
And then they met for the first time last year's October. But in a matter of weeks, in November, they had already started talking about this new game concept.
Okay.
So shall we go over the concept art?
That's it.
Okay. So that is the key visual. We have three pieces. And then, can you slide? Yeah.
まあ、先行してあの日本ではファミ通でも発表されてるんですけども、まずアクションゲームであるということ、それからコンソール機で出すということ、はい。
This game has already been announced in Japan via Famitsu, and we could say that this is going to be an action game, and then it will be on a console platform.
Okay. Do you have any time frame on when it'll be out?
あのリリースの目処は立ってますか？
We're
thinking next year.
Cool. Great. So this is the concept art.
Right. That's
the second concept art was interesting. Why? What is with the high contrast on the colors?
このコンセプトだとすごい興味深いんですけど、その今色合いですごいコントラストがあるんですけど、それは何かゲームに関係があるんですか？
まあ関係。という直接的な関係ではないんだけど、あのイラストキャラのデザイナーに関してはあのノーマーヒローズと同じその小崎雄介さんがキャラクターデザイナー。
As far as the high contrast colors in this image, that doesn't have any direct relation to the game itself. But you might notice from the image that the graphic artist who handled No More Hero is also working on this new title.
I see.
色はゲームにとってすごく重要って言っていいですか？
いいですね。
はい。 色はゲームにとってすごく重要です。
But
the color is very important to the game, but that doesn't necessarily mean it will have to do with the system or whatnot.
Okay, cool. And then the first picture.
That one?
No, one back. The main. So it's very sexy.
Sexy, she was saying.
What is your thinking there? What routes or what are you trying to accomplish with that?
このセクシーなキャラクターデザインですけど、これはどういう意図っていうか、どういうキャラクターなんですか？
これはですね、ファミ通では実はキャッチフレーズだけ、タイトルはワーキングタイトルの方が発表しないんですけども、キャッチフレーズだけは発表されていて、それがパンピー見てんじゃねえぞと。ただちょっと英語にすごく直しづらいので、スラングの言葉なので。
So when this was announced in Japan, they actually had a tagline. There's no working title or code name for this game at the moment, but they do have a tagline in Japanese, and that's a little difficult to translate in English, but it's kind of similar to what the hell are you looking at? Yeah. And then she's sort of talking to the common, like, average people.
Mm-hmm.Is she our main character?
彼女が主人公ですか？
彼女は主人公の中の主人
公。そうですね。
彼女はメイン、主人公の中のメインな主人公。
メインはどう？The protagonist。
やばいやばい。
これ主人公ですで、
主人公でいいです。ありがとうございます
。主人公
です。This is the protagonist.
Okay. I felt like you guys said a lot that I'm like, that's fine. Okay, so this is the protagonist. She kind of has a mentality of like, why are you looking at me because I'm sexy? So she's, like challenging, or I guess, are you having like some kind of a commentary on, the male approach to video games, or is that kind of where this is going?
そのタグラインですけど、見てんじゃねえっていうその態度からして、もしかしたらそれはその男性のゲーマーに対しての意見っていうかコメントでもあるんですか？
そういう意味じゃない。
そういう意味じゃないですね。
そういう意味
じゃないですね。
基本的にはその、だったりとかね。
難しいですね。
まあ一般ちょっと特殊な、パンピーが見てんじゃねえよってやってるから、
うんそうですね、
日本ではそういうふうに言ってるわけ
ですよね。そうです
よね。だからちょっと彼女の設定自体がちょっと特殊な設定で、その彼女から見た時に普通の人たちのことをこうなんかに対してこう言っている。だから別に男性とか女性とかあんま関係なく。
There is really no commentary behind that tagline. It's not like she's saying that to the male audience or the male gamers in general. But just to elaborate on that tagline, I didn't mention, you know, she's kind of talking to the common people.
Okay.
So her character and her background is sort of different and special from the average people. And she's sort of talking down on them.
In a mystical way or like a royalty way?
それは先ほど言った王家の王家ではないけど、
ディープな世界ですね。ディープな世界にいるんですね。
So she's no royalty or anything like that. So her status isn't like that. But it is a sort of it is a deep setting.
Deep setting.
Deep setting.
Okay.
Yeah.Okay. If that makes sense.
Is it, let's see, the, I noticed the, let's see, there's like a slash or a ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
Is she wrapped up in a ribbon like a mummy, or is it like a...
ちょっとこちらの画像を見て気づいたことがあるんですけど、彼女はいろいろちょっと包帯、ミイラのように包帯で巻かれてますけど、それは何か意味はあるんですか？
意味があるんですけど、包帯ではないです。包帯ではない、日本のちょっと伝統的カルチャーにある、まあ、ある着るものなんですね。
It's obviously she's not a mummy, nor is she injured or anything like that, even though she's wrapped up. But you did catch something very important to the gameplay, and it has a little to do with the Japanese history. Mm-hmm. So her outfit is taken from her. Her outfit ideas are taken from history of Japan.
I see. 絵の中にすごくヒントがやっぱ隠されてるんですね。
There's actually a lot of hints hidden in that image right there.
なので、あのググると今のヒントとかでググるとわかるかもしれない。
So if you actually take those keywords that we just mentioned and Google it, you might find the answer.
Okay, glad I'm recording it.
ああ、じゃあ録音しといてよかったです。
Is that a tattoo on her arm up there?
肩のこれは入れ墨ですか?
Or is that?
Oh, そうだ。
Yeah.
Yes, it is a tattoo.
Another hint, I guess.
またそれもヒントとしてかあの理解していいですか。
そうですね。はい。
So can you scroll through the images? So I notice Morgan, the is that the Darkstalkers character on the wall?
ダークストッカーのあのモーガンっていうキャラクター。
Or who is the character on the wall?
ああ、似てるだけだモーガン。ああ、違います。
モーガン。Not Morgan, but I do see the resemblance.
あれはあのなんていうのかな。あれです。ほらなんていうんでしたっけ。あのああいう人たちなんていうんでしたっけ。ラビット
バニーガール。
バニーガール。ラビットガールじゃない。バニーガール。
She's a bunny girl.
バニーガール。
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I see. So it looks like it's a futuristic setting.
Futuristic. Ah, so. That's exactly right.
All right, so like a little future and a little past mingled together.
近未来的なと先ほどおっしゃった日本の伝統的なものが混ざってる金なんです。
いるけどここは日本ではないです。
そうですね。
正確に言うと日本ではないんです。
There definitely is the combination of the futuristic style as well as the traditional Japanese history, but it's actually not Japan.
Oh, okay. Is it Earth?
Is it Earth? Yeah.
Where is it?
地球のどこですか? Do you think I can say it's northern or southern hemisphere?
近未来の世界のそのこの部分っていうのはちょっと日本的な部分を合わせ持ったそのなんですかのとある部分が日本ではない国なんです。
So just to go over what we just mentioned, it does take place in the near future, futuristic setting. It is not Japan, but they do have some elements from the Japanese history. So it's a combination of that.
Okay. Are you just standing?
I was just standing.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were kicking me out.
Okay, I'm gonna go open the door.
追い出されるのかな?
You've gone too far.
知りすぎたって。
Let's see. So I notice on the top left corner, is that snow or is that just the shadow of the paint?
画像の左上のところに、あれは雪ですか、それとも何かの影ですか？
あれは、まあ本当ラフに描いたので。
I don't think there's a meaning behind that.
Okay. ラフなタッチだと思います。
It's still concept art.
I see. Okay.
I said,
well,
thank you for noticing that because, you know, you're very observant.
So the love bunny, is it like a prostitution thing or is there like a cultural commentary on that or where is that factoring in?
バニーガールですけど、ケンさん、prostitution、日本語で何て言うんでしたっけ?
売春婦
のものなのか、それもまた何かメッセージを伝えてることなんですか。
キャバレー、キャバレーですね。
キャバレー。
Is it like a gentleman's bar?
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, oh.
Is the protagonist a dancer in the bar?
主人公の女性はここのバーで何かダンサー何か働いてるんですか？
わあ、深読みするね。
全然ノーナロ。
Okay. ありがとう、深読みしてくれて。
But thank you for being so deeply into
Okay. Do you want to go back to the samurai? Yes, that one. So is the woman in the first slide and this woman the same person?
あの、この左に映ってる女性はあの傘を持ってる女性と同一人物ですか？
そうですね。はい。
Yeah, that's the same character.
And is the male, is he a male or is it a woman with the umbrella?
傘を持ってるのは女性か男性どちらですか？
女性。
Female. Are there men in this?
あの、このゲームの中に男性はいるんですか？まあ、多分主な。あの登場人物として男性はいるんですか？
あ、います。
まあまあ、もういますいます。大丈夫です。
Yes, there are
male
characters in the game too.
But women are clearly in a position of power in this society.
でも明らかにあの、まあ、このゲームの中では女性の方がどちらかというと力っていうか思ってると考えていいんですか？
まあそういう意味で言うとすごく難しくなるんだ。
難しい
ですね。うん、力を持ってるというまあ一応フューチャーされてるのはこの主人公たちがフューチャーされて、うん、主人公たちがこの番傘持ったこの戸川が、まあ、フューチャーされてる形ではあって、ただそのゲームとしての全体の中ではまあ何ぞ。
言おうとしたんだよね。
うわぁ。
というの
は男し、社会がね、に立ち向かうんでね。だけどそれなり言っちゃいますよね。だから、まあ割とその、この子たちにすごくゲームとしてはフィーチャーされて
る。そうですね、はい。なので女性が強い世界じゃないという、そうですね、はい。
But as you notice, the women character, female characters are featured more, and they are highlighted more in the game. Mm-hmm. But there are male characters too. But it's not really a social commentary. But they can't really elaborate on that right now.
Okay.
なので可愛いセクシーな女の子たちが出てくる、まあ神楽タイプのゲームじゃないですね。
So it's not like you know it's a it's a game about you know cute sexy female characters like Kagura series.
Okay. Or it is or is not.
It isn't.
It isn't. why did you choose a female character? Like, that's out of the ordinary. Normally, it's just a big man character, male character.
あの、通常でしたら多分このガタイのいい男性キャラクターを主人公として考えると思うんですけど、特にアクションゲームとかであれば、なぜ今回は女性キャラクターを選んだんですか？
そうですね。まあ、あの、まあ、すごくあの、なんていうのかな、マッチョなキャラクターが、まあ、今ビデオゲームの中心に、いるとは思うんですけども、そうではない新しいタイプのゲームをやっぱり作るのがあの我々の使命だと思っているので、まあ、特にグラスホッパーのゲームはあのいろんなタイプのキャラがいるんですけども、あのあえてマッチョじゃなかったりとか女性が主人公だったりとかっていうゲームもあるので、そこはもう新しいゲーム、新しい世界観を提供していきたいっていう、まあ、その表れだと思ってください。
He feels that it's his mission to continuously provide new concept ideas and new type of games, so not like the traditional like macho buff guys being the center of attention in all the games. So he is saying that this is one of the newer type of style of games too that they are working on.
I see. Does creating a female character differ in a male character in terms of like how they can move, what they do in the game? Or what are the things that you have to think about when you're making a female character as opposed to a male character?
開発の面で女性キャラクターと男性キャラクターを作るときに、この動き方であったり、あの、まあ、能力、持ってる能力であったりとか、そこら辺はやっぱり違ってくるんですか？
動き、アクションの動き的には、まあ、その女性が、まあ、フィーチャーされているんで、やっぱこうスタイリッシュなアクションの見せ方、その動きとかに関しては何ていうかな、ある意味ちょっとこう、マッチョなキャラクターにはない、その何ていうかな、ディテールの細かい動きというのが真面目あると思います。
Since women characters are featured in this game, you could say that they have more agility just from the body type. So you would see stylized action elements in the game that
buff guys can't do.
Okay.
まあ最初のアクションゲームってまあ結構まあそうは言ってもいっぱいあると思うんで、まあ結局それと同じではない、そのちょっと今回新しいオリジナリティのあるそのアクション性、アクションゲームのプレイスタイルっていうのがまあ割とフューチャーされてる。
There's obviously a lot of stylized action games out there, but we are working and focusing on providing something new to mm-hmm. everybody in terms of gameplay.
I see. And so you mentioned that you know, Gung Ho is an online history. How are you looking to incorporate online and sort of traditional kind of single player experiences?
Gung Ho はオンラインを使ったゲームを開発する歴史がありますけど、それを今後どのように須田さんのゲームに取り組んでご予定ですか？
そうですね。まあそのどっちかというとその須田ワールドを使ってまあ、新しいゲームデザインそういったプラスやっぱオンラインのフューチャー要素というのを織り込んでちょっとオリジナリティのあるオンラインの、うん、そのフューチャー要素を入れたいと思ってます。
So we will definitely incorporate Gung Ho's strength, which is online features, into Pseudo World. So it will be something that people have never seen before.
Okay.
MMORPG とかじゃないからね。
It's nothing like an MMORPG. Yeah. It won't be an MMORPG.
オンラインのその良いところ、あとはその、本当はでもコンシューマーなんでもっとこうなんていうかライトなオンライン要素というのを入れたいと思って。
And for the online features, he'll take sort of like the lighter part of online features into the console game.
I see. So something like in Dark Souls, say you can have players come into other players' games.
そうですね。
ちょっとどちらかというとダークソウルのように他の人プレイヤーがこうやってものを取ってくるような感じ。
ただそのプレイそのもの自体にはやっぱりユーザーにその集中してほしいプレイしてほしいんで。その人がこうなんか人と何かしなくちゃいけないマッチングしなくちゃいけないとかそういうことはなく人との介入というのはその適度にある感じ。
And for the example that you just mentioned, he said, oh, yeah, but he wants people, the gamers, to focus on the gameplay itself. So there's not a lot of like functions where you have to wait for other people or interact with other people or like matching features like that.
I see.So will it be competitive or cooperative?
Versus 系か、コアップ。のどちらゲームスタイルですか？
コープか。Versus でもコープでもないな。
It's neither of those two.
Versus でもコープでもない
です
か？
そうですね。
まで大丈夫ですか？
まで。
うん。はい。
So it's neither co-op or versus, but that's all they could say right now.
まあどっちかでもない明確にどっちってことはないんだけど、コープの方に割と近い方だと思う。ただそれはその今日そのなんですか一緒にマルチプレイをするわけではない。
Okay. So the feature is going to be closer to co-op, but it's not like
not working together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I got it.
But if they had to choose one of the two, it'll be more co-op.
I see. So, of all this artwork, what feature do you guys in the art? What do you think is the most interesting part of it?
この3枚のコンセプトアートの中で、森下さんと須田さんからしてはどこが一番興味深いところだと思ってますか？
興味深い、まあ、一番そのキャラクターの
最初の
キーアート
ですね。で特にこの、まあ、このキーアートに、まあ、かなりこのゲームの中のヒントがかなり隠されているなと思います。まあ、これがその逆に言うと何でかというと小崎さん自身も今回のゲームのデベロップメントにかなり深く関わってその単純にそのキャラクターのデザインだけをしてるんじゃなくて、ゲームデザイン、ゲーム企画そのもの自体の中にも深く一緒に入ってやってきてるから、まあ、僕らがオーダーしたら彼らその辺をやっぱり理解してやっぱり僕ら的にはかなりそこにヒントが入りすぎじゃないかなと思ってるぐらいなんでこれ。
They think this key image is the most interesting one, and the reason behind that is because Kozaki Yusuke-san, the graphic artist who has worked on No More Heroes, is also handling this, and he's not only making the character designs this time, but he's pretty heavily involved in the development side too. So whenever they have ideas about gameplay style. Or mechanics, he would tell Kozaki-san, and then he would draw it up exactly how they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to kind of express that through his art.
I see.
And he thinks there's actually a little too much hidden in this image.
Oh. What more would you put in?
この他にヒントを入れるとするなら何を入れますか？
ヒント入れるとしたら、
これ以上に例えば先ほど言ってたそのこの巻物が巻いてるものがその日本の伝統的な何々とかこのタトゥーが何とかとか他にもしヒント的な要素を入れるとするならば
入れるとするならああ
もう十分ヒントは入ってるそうですけど、
はい、そうね、
まあ、それがそれ以外にどこら辺がヒントなのか
ああグローブじゃないですかああ言われちゃうのだ
そうね
そうですね
まあ割と、うん、この個人的にはこの子のやっぱり目の奥にあるものっていうのはかなり実は描写されて表現されてるなとは思ってるんだけどと思う自分でさ中身分かってる。
There's a lot depicted in her eyes.
まあ、まあ、保管する意味で言えば実はその3つのキーアートはかなり保管している
形があるよね。そうですね。
うん、本当そうです。あの漫画刺した、
はい、キャラもそうですし、
も関係してくるし。
And the female character with the umbrella right there is also a major character in the game.
Okay. Very good. Is this
That's about good for time. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you had anything that you need to like kind of wrap it together.
I think that was all the questions that I had.
Okay.
When do you think we'll get some more information on the game?
もうちょっとこのゲームについてあの、アナウンスか何か先ほど言ってた、今年末にはまた情報が開示されるんですか？
そうね。
開
示
する。
まああの TGS が、
TGS
がありますので、まあその TGS のタイミングあたりぐらいまた情報。
はい。So reveal more information around TGS.
Great.
あのガンホがブース出しますので TGS に。
And Gunho will have a booth. 海外プレ
スの皆さんはぜひ日本に今年は来ないといけないと思います。
So he would definitely like you to come by.
Okay. See if I can get out.
他のゲームもあるし。
そうですね。はい。
他のゲームもあるし。
They're also working on other games as well. So you might learn more on those titles too.
Great, yeah.